Alright, hello again and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, I'm your host, and today this could probably be a Comics Rule Everything Around Me since we were basically just talking about one particular comic, though I can't imagine we won't end up on some tangents about some other things. But
Special edition.
Yeah, of Keep It Close to Me, so I don't have to come up with some different number. It's like, in retrospect, I've not thought podcasts through very well. So we're here. I'm here with my good buddy, Matt.
Hey, everybody.
Who you may know from many other episodes of things. And today we're doing a special episode all about Superman and Action Comics number 1000, which just came out today. Holy cow. Celebrating Superman's 80th anniversary.
It's 80 pages long.
Wow, it's like they really put some thought into this. Man, this was something that this is like the most planning in advance we had done.
It really is.
Like, where we were really like weeks ago, we were talking about, yeah, when that comes out, we're going to have to really, we'll do like a thing. We'll get together and we'll read it. And but then we were both impatient and couldn't wait. We were going to get together like we normally do and go to the comic shop and pick it up and then read it and then record about it. But
I think originally we at least wanted to have read the Bendis story to talk about that. But then as it got closer to time, I was like, no, I'm going to want to read all of it.
Yeah.
And then I messaged you last night. When do they put out the comics digitally?
Yeah, we were like, what's funny is when you had said that to me, I was already thinking I should message you and say, I don't think I'm going to be able to wait. I'm going to have to go ahead and get this. And then, you know, still buy the actual physical copy because, man, a great number of these variant covers that they have done for it are, for me at least, worthy of putting up on the wall. I don't know how that'd fly at your house, but I think...
I don't know. It depends what wall.
Yeah, I guess that could play a part.
On my side of the closet,
yeah,
anything I want.
Anything I want.
If you're listening at home and maybe you bought it physically or maybe bought it digitally or maybe you've not bought it at all, there are differences we've noticed between the physical, because I bought the physical this morning and bought the digital late last night, and they've got some different content.
It's the digital copy does come with a number of the variant covers, which is nice of them.
They're the decades variants.
Yeah.
So like a 1930s variant, 1940s variant.
50s, 60s, awesome. 70s.
Yeah.
It turns out the physical copy has got pinup stuff in it that is not in the digital
copy. It's got a neat table of contents too, which I kind of wish. I kind of like looking through that.
It's odd that they wouldn't put that in the digital version.
Because I like to know what the writer artist team is from page one, not to find that out.
Not to find out later. As you're going.
I mean, sometimes it's real obvious, but I like this. I like the table of contents up front in the print version, and then you've got at least two.
I kind of liked. You know, now that you say that, I kind of liked the. I didn't know what I was going to be getting next. Reading the digital version, I was like, I don't know whose story is going to be next. I don't know where this is going.
That's true. That is kind of neat to turn the page and it's something.
Yeah.
Different. Like, oh, now this.
Who's next?
In the print, you've got a pinup from John Romano Jr. and a pinup from Jorge Jimenez.
And there's also the Walt Simonson.
Oh, and a Walt Simonson pinup. Yeah. So those are not in the digital. DC's just trying to make sure you buy both, and it worked.
Which, yeah, it's fine by me. They're probably going to, those decades covers are so good. They're probably going to end up getting me to buy this thing several times over. And I'm even like, I've already got some auctions on eBay that I'm watching for some of the covers that are not just the they put out a, hey, has any other comic made it to 1,000?
Yeah.
You know, like
no.
They can. They can put as many covers out for it as they want, especially as good as so many of them are. Yeah. And I'll probably put in the show notes, I'll probably put a bunch of the these various covers up.
Bless you.
Thank you. I think that's the first time I've ever sneezed on the show.
It's that time of year.
Yeah. Oh, right before you got here, all of a sudden I could feel the allergens attacking me, and I was like, oh no. Like literally right before you came to the door, and like I took some allergy medicine, cut all of this out.
It finally got warm yesterday, so the pollen's like,
oh, it's out. Field day.
Do you want to talk about some of these covers before we talk about the stories?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So yeah, I mean, Matt, if you just want to take over, you seem much more focused than I am.
So the standard covers, Jim Lee, I think that's the one you've seen a lot online.
We're doing a deep dive on this episode, just on this issue. We are going to get into every facet of this issue.
Yeah, so it's...
All right, first things first, let's get this right out of the way. The standard cover is the Jim Lee one.
Yeah.
And dude, I have loved Jim Lee since I was a little kid.
Sure.
To me, he is like the definitive X-Men artist. I love his
Wildcats.
I love Wildcats. You know about how much I love Wildcats. He is probably the artist that I, like, as a kid, I most tried to copy.
Sure.
You know, I was like, his stuff is just so cool. Like, for his versions of the X-Men are what I think of when I think of the X-Men. And he has done, I think he does an amazing, I think he does a great Batman.
His Hush stuff with Jeff Lowe.
I'm not crazy about the story, but
the artwork,
his art, yeah,
is
top, I don't think notch. I don't think Jim Lee can draw Superman to save his life. I don't think I've ever seen a drawing of Superman by Jim Lee that I've liked.
I think it's because there's more to communicating Superman than just drawing him. Like, you've got to convey a sense of.
Actually, of who you know what? Hold on. I will take that back just a step. I think that some of his New 52 Supermans work.
Like when he's drawing Justice League? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the, like that first shot, the first time you see Superman in the New 52 is in that Justice League number one where he shows up at the end and he's like, so what can you do? That shot of him was pretty cool. And there was like a variant cover for some issue of Superman that he did. And it's the New 52 version of Superman, and I liked it too. I was like, that's actually a pretty cool cover, even though I was never crazy about that New 52 suit.
And you didn't particularly like Superman Unchained either that he did.
No.
Which I like pretty good, but yeah, it's this.
I just don't think for whatever reason, he is not a good fit for Superman. I don't know if it's like there's something about, and like when I hear him talk about Superman, I feel like he. I don't know. I don't think it's that he doesn't...
Like, maybe he's not as excited about Superman and it comes across in the art?
Maybe. But, I mean, it's like, I don't feel like it's necessarily that he doesn't have, you know, a love for the character. But you can... I think it does come across... It's clearly he's not as into it as...
Batman.
He likes Batman. He's like... Yeah. And but there's just something about the character where it's like, there's something about Superman that doesn't fit his style.
Mm-hmm.
And, folks, if you disagree with me... You're wrong. No.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it necessarily either, but I feel like, yeah, it's something that's communicated with the art other than just being able to capably draw him. Like, I don't know. I mean,
you look at that and you go, yeah, that's Superman.
That is a drawing of Superman.
That is definitely a drawing of Superman.
It's better than I would do, so.
But also, like, looking at... I started really staring at this cover last night, and, like, there's a lot of stuff about it that I'm just like, this looks really like slapdash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the coloring to the inking, I could get real specific and nitpicky about some of the stuff, but I'm not trying to pick apart a guy who is a great artist and like working with his team. Like, Scott Williams has been his inker since way back, but there's like stuff in there where this cover looks like something he just like, it would have been something like that he knocked out really quick.
Like a sketch. Like he has his,
or something for like some convention where it's like, oh, we just need a quick poster for a convention. It doesn't say anything. It's like, I don't know why they get this weird shade of like desaturated blue for the suit. And like the yellow is this like almost white. Mm-hmm. Like from, it's like top to bottom, not just the drawing, but the inking is like, you know, you got all those squiggly lines. Like Superman is, so Jim Lee's stuff seems to excel when you've got people in like really dramatic lighting mm-hmm. that necessitates a lot of like heavy shadows and like places for rendering that he likes to do. Like all these kind of like extra, you know, tick marks and like
right,
all these lines.
Right.
And you've got Superman standing, you know, great big in the broad daylight. There's like not a lot of shadows. I mean, he's trying to get as much black in there as he can.
Yeah, the whole the big thing with this issue is the trunks are back, and they are, and they're almost entirely black on his cover on with his just cover. A little bit of red accent.
Yeah, and it's like, but I mean, this also carries over. It's not as bad in the part that he actually of the sequentials where the Bendis story at the very end, which we'll get into that. But like, I feel like there's a little bit more. But he's also, he's just getting beat up the whole time. And it's like, there's nothing Superman. Anyway, but there's like, just something about all of this is like, it just doesn't.
Metropolis looks great in the back.
Nah. I mean, it's all right. There's really not much going on. It's not actually a lot of buildings going on. There's just like a couple there. And it's just, why is he just standing somewhere? Why not have him floating? That's like, it bugged me. You know, that famous Superman cover that he did that's sort of like a companion piece to that Batman one. Where Batman is standing on that ledge.
He's standing on a ledge.
Yeah. And he's standing on the thing.
I actually had those posters at one point. I don't know what happened to him.
But it's like, you clearly you want to draw Batman. You know? Because you're like, why would Superman just be standing there? Have him like floating. He can fly.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a cool thing he can do that's... It always, to me, like his Superman always just kind of looks like Bruce Wayne. It looks like his Bruce Wayne in a Superman costume.
I can see that.
You know what I mean? Like, especially, look at this cover. We are really starting off on a negative thing. I'm not, like, this was not how I expected this to go, but...
Well, let's move on. So, the Jim Lee's not the strongest of the variant covers you could pick, but if you like it, then...
Great.
Yeah.
You're done.
Probably find lots of them. I didn't mean it to sound like that.
no, there's... That's the thing that drives me crazy, is that, like, I honest... So, the also came out today was that 80 Years of Action Comics... hardcover collection that's got a, which I'm going to get that today. After we record, I'm going to the store to pick that up. But Jim Lee did the cover for that too.
Better. A little bit
better. It's nominally better.
If more interesting, I guess.
It's,
maybe.
But it's more interesting because it's got all those classic Superman covers behind him. And it really, I had this thought when I was looking at that last night where I was like, I wish that Jim Lee had never gone to DC because then he would not be their like go-to person for every important cup. And it's like, you look at the, in the DC solicits that just came out, there's, in the, like the collectibles part of them, there's like a new series of, like little statues or something of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And they're all based on Jim Lee's art. And the Batman, you go, yeah, that's a good Batman. The Wonder Woman, you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But the Superman, it's just like, and then it's a Jim Lee Superman. And I know that, look, I know tons of people think, look, I love Jim Lee on basically everything but Superman. And it's like, he just does, there's something about the way he does it that's, and there've been some that are cool, but it's like, there's something about Superman's costume if you're doing like a classic Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, it doesn't, it's like it doesn't have enough going on for Jim Lee, which, and which is part of why I hated a lot of the stuff in the New 52.
Right. Cause it like, gave it lots of seams.
There's like all this unnecessary stuff. And it's like, that's cool on the X-Men, but some of these DC, you know, when they like, were like, oh, we've got to redesign everybody. And that was like such a big part of it. And he was one of the guiding force. He wasn't the only one, but I promise I really thought this was going to be way more positive, but this Jim Lee thing is just like,
Well, let's move off it then, because we'll get to talk about
it. I haven't finished being mad about it. I've got to get all of this out of me. But it's like, it really, like, you've got the, I mean, this, I guess it's fine, it's great, because they've got like a million covers for this one. So, okay, but I was just like, I really wish that, on so much stuff that you see out in the world of like, you know, like, well, marketing stuff, but like,
talking about how this is the main cover as that people see.
Or? Yeah, but also just like Superman t-shirts, like for kids at Target, like or picture where it's like got Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman on, or a bunch of that. Like so often, that stuff is used in Jim Lee's art. And I'm just going like, yeah, this looks great for the Batman one. But like the Superman one, it's like, he's always just like kind of scowly. Like, look at how unnatural it looks for Jim Lee to draw someone smiling like that. It just seems like
painful.
Yeah. It's like, struggling to smile. Also, I think there's this thing, and Grant Morrison talked about this, where it's like, Superman doesn't have to be flexing and like angry eyes and grimacy. Cause like Superman has got to be like, it's that story he tells about like when he met that guy that was dressed like Superman, and this guy just stayed in character and let him sort of interview him as Superman. And it's like, Superman's like the most, it's like why the cover of All-Star number one is Superman just chilled out, sitting on a cloud. It's like, Superman is like the most relaxed person.
And that conveys the heart.
Yeah.
The je ne sais quoi of Superman better than this guy.
Yeah, but it's like, you don't need to see Superman's abs. Like, when he's standing, like, he doesn't have to. All right, we can move on to the next one. Because the next cover is absolutely wonderful. And it's the 1930s one, but which is a painting by Steve Rude, which is just phenomenal.
Looks like he's busting up a temple from some cultist guys.
Yeah, you got some cult people in the background, it looks like. And they've got Tommy, or is it a shotgun?
Some kind of gun.
Some kind of gun shooting at him. Just wonderful. I wish I had more to say about it other than it's just, it's great.
For each of these decades covers, they also use the logo and the,
like the typeface
dress, yeah that would have been on that era too, which is a neat extra touch. So it's like, if they had never changed anything and Action Comics made it all the way to 1000, it would still look like that, which is neat.
So cool. Then the next one, the one for the 40s, is by Michael Cho.
And this is the one I bought the physical copy of. It was
and
a
it
tough
looks,
choice.
It looks great in person.
It's him. Yeah, they're.
And I love, too, that it's got that little bit of like just looking at it here, at you holding it, which doesn't really come across in the digital, actually, is that it has this little bit of like sun fadedness to it.
Yeah.
Like the colors look, they have that just little bit of like, that you see on those old comics, you know, where the pages were white when it came out, but it's over time they've kind of
right the white, the off-white behind the Action Comics logo.
Just a little bit, and it like it really does sell the that it feels like this is from the 40s.
They've got a bit on here, Smash the Axis by War Bonds.
Yeah, everything about it's even and it's even got the little like circle Superman breaking the chains thing from that was on the cover of Action Comics in the 40s.
Yeah.
So cool.
His art is gorgeous. I love it.
Now, this is someone who I'm lucky enough to have a friend that is friends with, so I've got some original art of his that is just fantastic. But none of it's Superman, so...
Yeah. But anyway, that cover looks great. I guess it's World War II? War One? War era Superman.
Yeah, it's World War II because they're talking about the Axis.
What do you think about this one? This is the
1950s. Dave Gibbons, 1951. Which, I'm not sure why Dave Gibbons for the 50s. Like, his style does not scream the 50s to me.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a fun cover. Not my favorite of the bunch. But also not my least favorite.
Yeah.
So...
trying to touch on the fun really... Out there stuff they do in the 50s. You got these little tiny aliens that are zapping Superman.
Yeah. It's a great cover. I mean, I'm certainly not... I'm not unimpressed with it or something like that. But it's... I guess the 50s was sort of like a spot where you were moving towards that where things were going like, oh, let's get wild with it. You know, the first one, he's busting up... He's like a crime buster. The 40s, you've got... He's off to war. And then it's like, what's happening in the... Then it's like, suddenly, it's... the tonal shift is very much, oh, okay, things are getting weird. But it's not quite to 60s weird yet.
Right.
Which is where things really got...
Right.
Fun? Kooky? Yeah. And then, so, yeah, then you move to the 60s one, which is Mike Allred.
Yeah, Mike and Laura Allred do the 60s variant. It also has that faded kind of look to the top and even kind of like foxed edges in the corner a little bit.
So cool.
He's got just lots of fun stuff. He packed a ton into this cover.
Yeah, you get your money's worth on this one because he is like putting as many 60s Superman things as you can squeeze in there.
You've got Mermaid Superman.
With Lori Lamaris. You've got 60s version of Jor-El. You got the so many of the classic Kryptonite stories
you
where.
Got the Super Pets.
Got the Fortress of Solitude with the giant key. You got the ant-headed Superman. You get Bizarro World with Bizarro and
Bottle City of Kandor.
Yeah, all of these great things.
With the little arrows coming out the top.
Man. So much cool stuff.
You got Supergirl, I guess, marrying Mr. Mixus Pidalic for some reason.
Sure. I really do. I mean, we talked about this off mic. That it, as far as we can tell, all of these, it's not like he just made up some other wacky right. 60 stuff. It's like everything is from an actual, like that Superman Flash combo is, we found the right. issue that's actually from.
They've got a merged, or Superman as the Flash.
I think I said it was Action 313, the day Superman became the Flash. But also, take all of this other stuff out, and if you just had a cover, if the cover was just this Mike Allred Superman, just in the sky, still a great cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Mike Allred does a wonderful 60s style, well, 60s style everything, kind yeah. of like mod.
Yeah.
Just a great Superman.
He's great. I love yeah. him. All right, the Steranko.
We got the Jim Steranko 70. This is the 70s, right?
70s, yeah.
Sure. Nothing about this makes me feel like it is necessarily the 70s. It's a Jim Steranko Superman cover.
It sure is.
All right.
This is the boy. Other one I almost bought a physical copy of, the Joshua Middleton cover.
Holy.
So pretty.
Cow. Yeah, this is just...
Looks Superman the movie.
Yeah, it's got that feel of like very much the, but it's still all the stuff is like from the comics. But right. like, even though the characters look like sort of the 80s versions of themselves, they're also these like kind of idealized 80s versions of themselves. Right. Like Lex's armor never actually looked this cool. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I love that. I love the version of Lex that flew around in purple and green armor.
And that's something we've not gotten on the big screen.
No.
That I feel like is missing from.
Don't imagine we ever will. It showed up, the Lexo suit showed up in Supergirl a couple weeks ago. Not with Lex in it, with Lex's mom in it.
Do they have a Lex in Supergirl?
He gets mentioned a lot.
But they've not cast anybody.
They have not cast a Lex and
So Lex's mom has been on screen in armor. We might have Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And this, I guess,
Brainiac in the background.
Or the skull ship or something.
No, I think that's him. But it's that 80s version of Brainiac where he was like the skeleton robot, which is...
It's pretty awesome looking.
Far and away the scariest version of Brainiac,
I think. I guess whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow would have been 80s.
Yeah.
Era.
Well, it's funny.
That skeleton kind of Brainiac, doesn't it?
Yeah. But just thinking, it's like that. I think George Perez is the one who actually designed that version of Brainiac. But it's funny thinking about that, whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow, because the art on it looks so 60s, it's like my brain forgets. I mean, but of course, that whole thing is sort of like a love letter to that
era. Right. Because it was right before Crisis. Before Man of Steel.
Yeah. But my brain does often forget that, that actually came out in the 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just like even as a kid, so the superpowers figures from the 80s were like the reason, besides Superman, the superpowers figures from the 80s were the reason why I loved DC more than Marvel. Because it was like they were the like line of figures that were around. Like way more, and they each figure came with a little comic, which, man, if they would collect those into like a real thing, that would be something I would definitely give them money for. But
pay attention, DC.
Yeah. But it's like the so you get the figure and a little comic, and the comic really would do a great job of like kind of giving you all you need to know to understand this character.
Right.
So it's like every one of these figures I got, I go, okay, I get what this guy's about now. And but it would also each of the comics would have them fighting one of the bad guys that you could also get a figure of. And
that's just smart marketing.
Smart. And oftentimes it would also have like some of the other super characters from, you know, the other DC superheroes would also like be teaming up with them. So you go like, oh, this is what their relationship with Superman is like. This is what their relationship. But then also on the back, it had the like file card that's like gives you all their important stuff. So if the comic
kinda like,
didn't
like the G.I. Joe action figures.
Used yeah, to but it was up and down instead of left to right. If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I'm making hand gestures that Matt can see, but you guys can't see.
It's vertical. Instead of horizontal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was on the thing, like, yeah, anyway.
Middleton's on that list of artists that's so good, they only have to do covers now. They don't do interiors, and that's a shame, because I wish he was doing interiors on stuff.
Yeah, man.
Lois and then looks great.
This is like, this basically looks like a kind of modernized version of the Jose Luis Garcia Lopez stuff, like from the 80s. Like, this basically looks like that Garcia Lopez idealized version. Like, the Wonder Woman on that glass that you're drinking out of.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff, it like, this is all of the marketing stuff that was just like ubiquitous through the 80s. Like, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez did the, he basically did all the art for, and he did the sort of like the style guide that everyone at DC was sort of supposed to follow. So like when I think of Superman, it's usually the first thing that pops into my head is like his version.
He's going to be drawing the Superman story in DC Nation.
Yeah.
Zero.
Which makes me, I'm excited about one half of it. But this looks basically like his, like Joshua Middleton's version of
I can see that
Superman, which is so really hits some buttons for me.
It's a beautiful cover.
Absolutely beautiful. Then for the 90s one, I can't believe I'm a little disappointed for the 90s one that they didn't go with maybe like mullet Superman or like something with like the Death and Return.
Yeah, nothing from that. It's just, I mean, it's a cool.
It's a good
Dan
cover.
Juergens cover.
It's Dan Juergens and Kevin Nolan inking, which I don't. I can't remember if did we already talk about this or was that the other part where we just
we talked about it for a long time. And I don't know if that's when we're recording or not.
Oh boy. Well, anyway, I think it's a great cover. But yeah, it would have been nice. Like I think the '90s is kind of defined by the Death and Return as far as Superman goes, or maybe even you have the Death Return and then like the Electric Blue. I would have loved to have seen that get some play in here.
Yeah, you need at least one cover that's Electric Blue. Well, they missed, they kind of went too generic.
Never mind. Let's stop talking. Cancel the podcast.
It's a great cover, but yeah, it's a missed opportunity to really showcase the 90s.
This doesn't scream 90s to me.
Yeah.
Other than that it's by Dan Juergens, which maybe that's enough.
That may be what they're thinking there. They're just
I sure would have loved to see this team do something. Well, that cover I showed you that's like the variant for Dynamic Forces, it's got Superman through the ages. Mm-hmm. Something more like that, maybe. Then for the 2000s, you've got this Lee Bermejo.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Bermejo? Sure.
Yeah. It's cool. It looks good.
It looks a little like if you saw this, if you saw this in real life and the sky is all red like that,
it's terrifying.
I might be a little afraid of Superman.
I mean, if you've seen Lieberman, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Like, it's his Superman. It looks like his art. And you either like that or you don't, I guess. But
which it's a great, but it's more the, I mean, and I get it's not like the skies are, it looks like the sky is on fire, which sometimes the sky looks like. It's just the way the sun
red
sets.
Red skies.
And it's cool. But
maybe sunrise sunset thing going on.
Maybe if the sky was not quite so scary, he might look a little less.
But he's flying, so that edges him out over the Jim Lee cover.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely. And I think he does a great Superman.
Remember that Wednesday comics?
Oh boy, that's exactly what I was thinking about.
All right, well we're thinking it.
Just know that we're thinking it. Yeah, I mean, and it's a great, he does a great Superman. And a Superman that, like, it's like, the costume still looks like the costume without adding a bunch of extra lines, but it also looks like real something someone is wearing.
Right, it looks fabric-y or rubbery or
something. It looks like it is, he looks like a real person.
Yeah.
He doesn't just look like a drawing.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I guess there's not, or maybe the Jim Lee cover counts as the 2010
one. Is his cape even doing an S?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, his cape's kind of blown in an S shape that I didn't notice until.
I didn't notice that. Well, it's because the action is kind of covering up the top of it. But looking at it sideways here, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it makes a giant S. That's neat.
Pretty cool. Which, and it's red, so it would make even more sense for the sky to be blue behind him. Because then it's like the sky is all... Anyway, I'm just saying, DC, if you need some art directors, I could...
Or maybe it's yellowish, so it's like the red on yellow. Red S on yellow field.
Hey, all right.
And it's even a triangle. Look at the buildings.
Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh!
It's like looking at a hidden picture thing. It just popped.
Oh, wow.
Okay, the buildings frame the yellow sky into like the shield shape.
And it is blue up here.
Oh, man.
All right. Hey.
He went next level.
Yeah, I guess he knew what he was doing after all.
Man. Okay, that's really cool.
All right, good stuff. good job, buddy.
And then for the 2010s, I think that's the Jim Lee cover is kind of counting as
that.
Oh. All right, you want to get into these stories?
All right. So, well, before we get into the stories like individually.
Spoiler warning.
Obviously, spoiler warning. Even though most of the stuff in here is really like...
Yeah, they're just
like
fun.
It's all just like a love letter to Superman. It's nothing in here except for the Bendis thing is maybe.
But we don't want to steal like the emotional punch of some of them.
Absolutely. But so spoiler warning. Yeah, and hey, what I was going to say though is just overall, what is your, before we get into spoilers, in case anybody wants to stop listening until they've read it.
Just a pure up down. I liked it.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Lots of fun stories in there. Lots of great art. Lots of kind of just quintessential Superman lines and moments and beats that are like, yeah,
there's Superman. Definitely some stuff in here that to me, there was like, and we'll get to it, but there was a story in here. One of them, where I was like, that's Superman. When I finished, I was just like,
yeah,
that's Superman.
I feel like it's got a few of those beats where it's like,
yeah,
that's exactly
like,
what
this
Superman
is. This is what. This sums it up perfectly. Also, I love that we've talked so long about the covers, and now we're going to have to like actually rush through the stories. But I would say 100% get this. Give it a read.
Give it a read.
Even if you've never gotten a Superman comic before, I think that it's a great introduction to Superman and like really kind of gives you a taste of like why he's so special, why he's been around for so long, why he keeps being... relevant and great.
Absolutely.
Why he's the best. So, but now we can kind of get into the story. So how many stories are there actually, since you've got the table of contents right there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stories.
Okay. So, 30 seconds each to talk about it. So the first one up is the written and drawn by Dan Jurgens story, where spoilers from here on out.
Yeah.
Please don't listen to this if you haven't read it yet, because I really don't want to spoil all of this for people, but I want to talk about it.
Right.
So please don't listen to this if you haven't read it, because it'll really kind of rob
the... Go read it and come back.
Yeah.
Hit pause.
We'll wait. Okay.
And you're back.
Yeah. This Superman, it's like basically Superman Day in Metropolis. Mm-hmm. And this is a very...
anniversary issue thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dan Jurgens is a great fit for this, because it's the kind of... it's a great start off to... It's not the best story in there, but it's not.
I guess
solid.
This it doesn't kind like, of function in, as his last issue on Superman Action for a while, at least until he comes back.
Probably.
I guess I've not really thought about it in that light as I was reading it.
It's kind of you could totally look at it kind of as his goodbye to Superman for the time being, at least.
So the city's out to thank Superman. The mayor's out. Clark and Lois and John are attending the Superman Day, but Clark wants to attend it as Clark. He doesn't want to just show up in costume.
Superman's not about. He's not about. He doesn't do it to be thanked.
Yeah, he's not doing it for the glory. And Lois is really trying to get him up there, get him in costume, get him on stage. And then there's like a behind the scenes thing you don't find out to the end. Lois is also keeping him from having to answer this alien invasion. She's talking on the phone to the Justice League, making sure they got it under control, and
tricking him into
deceiving her husband.
Yeah. Well, and the Justice League is all helping deceive him so he can enjoy, so he can just chill out and have Superman Day.
Yeah.
The one part in this that is kind of, but it's also like a conceit of these kind of anniversary things that's fine. Like if this happened in a 60s comic, I would have no problem with it.
Right.
But in this, I kind of go, like, because it's very modern. The way that, like, everyone's, you know, there for Superman Day, and then all of a sudden, every superhero shows up. Yeah, like, they're not there, and then they show up, and it's like, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. Because they were, like, fighting the aliens all over the world.
The Kund, how do you say?
Yeah.
The alien invasion, and then... Yeah, the big splash page. Everybody's home.
Yeah. We're all here for your big day now. Also, the stage has somehow grown exponentially to fit all of us. It's fine.
We've got, like, Harley Quinn and
Deathstroke. Why is Deathstroke there? That's the thing to me where I was like, what on... Like, even if he's, like, an anti-hero now...
Still, you're going to have him on stage for Superman Day?
Like, there's not... You couldn't put Plastic Man back there or something instead? Like, there's not a better... I don't know. There's also some of these guys that's like, I think that over here... where is it? I think that is Sideways.
That's a brand...
brand new guy, you know, and I'm like...
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, throw some of these newbies in here.
It's a fun celebrating anniversary style story.
Yeah. Which is great. Love it. Then... We get to the Peter Tomasi, Patrick Gleason story, which is probably neck and neck for my absolute favorite of the bunch.
Yeah, it's got to be up there in the top two or three of the stories in here.
The just looks incredible. I mean, they really...
The phrase weaponized hypertime has got to be the most comic booky.
There's so many great, like, comic stuff that you can only hear in comics in here, but, like, both of you can tell that this is also kind of like their swan song for everything they've done with Superman.
I think Gleason's gonna continue.
Gleason's
but
gonna keep being
not.
As an artist,
right?
But it's like,
but they've been a team for so long.
Yeah,
yeah.
They, I mean, before this, before even doing Superman,
Batman and Robin.
But it's like they really have steered Superman for Rebirth, mm-hmm. and like brought Superman up to a point where it's like people were, which is kind of like the most upsetting thing about this Bendis thing to me is that like these other teams have worked so hard to get
Superman in a really good
sort
place.
Of like to revitalize to rebirth Superman for a modern audience and. Like, the idea that it feels very much like so much of this stuff is just going to get tossed out is, like, really upsetting.
Yeah.
When they have worked so hard. But they're... Man, they swung for the fences on both the writing and going, like, we're going crazy comic booky.
Right.
With this one. But it's also, we're going to hit all of these Superman high points.
And this is, a very anniversary issue thing to do to make him have to relive all these moments. I've seen, Spider-Man stories like this. But they kill it.
They kill it.
Yeah, it ends up being these full page splashes. The whole story is
encapsulating each of Superman's decades in in one page with one amazing iconic shot. Because it's mostly all just splash pages. I think that
it's entirely splash.
It's entirely splash page. For some reason, but that's so that's a sign of a good comic is that the stuff that's happening. Or like good storytelling in a comic when you do something and people felt like more than just one image was happening. Because there were ones where I was like, no, there was parts where surely that was like some extra panels.
Yeah, you can lay out a splash page in such a way that you get your
your
money's worth, I guess.
Yeah, masterful.
So is this Sergeant Rock here? Yeah, really love. I think that's probably my favorite of the pages is that one where he's got the tank upside down and he's shaking these guys out of it. This a war image here. Looks so cool.
But they're all just so incredible.
Is this referencing something where he's in this cave?
I want to think that it's referencing one of those Kirk Allen Superman, black and white Superman movies.
Oh.
That, like, Superman, like, I.
You've got to be right, because it's in black and white.
It's like Superman versus the Mole Men was what I was thinking.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Don't know if that's, or, oh, wait, no, was that Kirk Allen, or was it? Yeah, no, it was Kirk Allen. But so just incredible. And, like, this stuff where, and it's like, to me, this feels like a little bit like it's an homage to, the Fleischer Superman stuff.
Yeah.
Not this. No, this one where it's like,
the because
there's that one Fleischer one where Superman stops that like molten stuff from pouring on Lois with his cape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the lighting is kind of like that. May not be, but it's what it made me think of.
Yeah. There was something else that made me think of Fleischer. It might've been a different story, but yeah.
But then this, when you've got Superman versus two other Supermen, and it's like, this one looks very much like an animated version, which mm-hmm. I would say is either probably the 60s version or
it's like
maybe
the Super Friends version.
Yeah, like maybe the Super Friends version or maybe the even the 80s version of the Ruby Spears Superman, which is sitting right over there. And then this other Superman, the way how shiny his boots are make me feel like maybe this is like kind of like a, I don't know, because the cape's different. I don't know what version of Superman this one's supposed to be, but it's great.
Yeah, it may not, you know, may not be any particular one he's referencing, but it looks really cool.
Then you've got the Frank Miller
and
homage.
Yeah, he credits after Frank Miller with this. This from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. And he even says, like, what they're saying. It's like the narration gives you sort of what. And this one is a take on another class. This is a take on a Action Comics cover, I think, by John Byrne. I couldn't find it real quick when I tried to look for it as I was reading.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'll look for this. I'll look more for this later because I was like, I want to get back to.
Gleason does such a good Banshee, too, that I'm surprised they've not used her.
Well, supposedly they still had plans and plans of stuff they wanted to do that has gotten.
Is it too late to let them do that
and get rid of Bendis?
Okay.
And then look at this 90s one. This 90s
this
one.
This should have been the 90s. Yeah. You know, or something like this.
This could have been the 90s cover.
The 90s cover, because it's a black, long hair, black costume, long hair Superman with Mongol, Steel, and Superboy.
And then you get the next one where you've got an homage to the Donner Superman movie, but with the animated series, Zod and not Ursa, but on the
whoever,
cartoon.
Yeah, the her
name was.
And they've got their animated series costumes, but then the very Donner two-dimensional
Phantom Zone.
So maybe this is just.
Well, and also this, I mean, this is like Krypton.
Yeah.
This is like the Donner Krypton. Man, just so good.
So maybe this is an homage to Superman on the screen.
Yeah. You know,
animated and movies. Yeah. And.
And then you got the Kingdom Come. Oh my gosh. It's all so good.
The Kingdom Come one's good. And then he busts out and he beats Vandal Savage.
Yeah, but then, and you've got this. Like, this is the page for me.
Mm-hmm.
The where you've got like the Supermans from basically wrapping up Rebirth, where you've got the New 52 one plus the black suit Superman with the beard.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And then the beginning of Rebirth and then the current Rebirth.
Well, this is basically their run right here.
Yeah, you know, one amazing, holy cow.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, along with, you know, Dan Jurgens, but yeah, that's kind of the
that's
Rebirth
like the arc of their Superman.
Oh, that's got a fun beat at the end. So he beats Vandal Savage, he makes it home, and
in time
and
for
Lois
his.
Is like, man, that was a really long story. You just blow out these candles, and you've got like a cartoony, almost makes me think of Scooby Doo or something, kind of Crypto down there.
Well, Crypto's, you know, breed is always kind of in flux, so
yeah.
You can get a lot of different. I feel like a lot of people have different versions of. Yeah, that does kind of look like a
that
small
yeah,
Scooby-Doo
cartoony kind of guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was great.
Then you got the John. I hate John Romita on Superman. I don't think John Romita is a good fit for DC. Period.
That's kind of a weird pinup. But if you,
I guess you could take that as like trying to do like a thing with the Electric Blue, even though that's probably
maybe
not.
I don't know.
That's anyway.
Weird. This is my, the next story is my least favorite, I think. in the collection.
I would probably put it at next to last.
Okay. and it's hard to kind of tell what they're doing. It looks like maybe it's repurposed Kurt Swan art from something else.
Yeah, that they've maybe done something else with, but there's also that there's a page that's from something. Guys, I don't know.
It's a bit of a mess. Marv Wolfman's writing it, and it's like he's trying to communicate things with the dialogue I don't think was. I mean, you can kind of tell this is not what the imagery was originally supposed to be.
Yeah, well, it's like it seems like all of the narration boxes are added.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm sure somewhere online someone has explained what the deal with this is.
There's a whole Brainiac subplot, and Brainiac is nowhere
to be seen.
So I don't know if it's like they thought maybe this principal taking one of his students hostages was a little harsh to just be like a person having a mental breakdown will say, you know, Brainiac was mind controlling him.
The idea is that Superman's on the other side of the world dealing with Brainiac, but this is what's actually going on. But it's like, why would Brainiac? This does not seem like Brainiac's MO to just go, I'm going to get a high school principal and make him kill a student.
Right. It doesn't make
really
any
my
sense.
Master plan.
It feels like they're trying to do a story about something else and they wanted to use Kurt Swan's art because
they wanted
important.
To get Kurt Swan in here, and I'm fine with it.
This panel here where the police shoot the principal and then the narration boxes are clear that you know it's rubber bullets and he's okay.
Even though he gets shot in the throat.
He's hard down on the ground.
And they're like, is he dead? No, he's fine.
It felt like the cartoons when we were a kid, like G.I. Joe, where you know, a plane would explode, and then they would say off camera, oh, but they're fine. They're floating down in their parachutes.
Thank goodness they had parachutes. It definitely feels like that. Yeah. But you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
It's fine. But man, and that last page is a great, it's a wonderful, you know, lovely splash of Superman mm-hmm. being Superman. Man, then we have what is tied for me. It's the Tomasi Gleason one and this are tied for me for probably the best ones.
I agree. I put the Tom King one up there too, but yeah.
I like the Tom King one.
Those are my top three for sure.
And also, maybe it's not fair that I read the Tom King one
several weeks
ago.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of the Tom King one is great, but like this is like got something that really captures what Superman's deal is to me.
Jeff
like,
Johns and Richard Donner writing. Yeah. And now they worked on Superman several years back. They did a run on Action. And then Oliver Coypel.
I think it's Olivier. Is there another I in there?
Yeah, there is, but that's hard to say. Olivier.
I'm going
to... Apologies to the Coypel family. Coypel,
which we don't even know if Coypel is how you pronounce it. This has been the thing, the struggle our entire lives, I think, with comic books is like, you never know how these people actually pronounce their names. And especially some of these people when you're like a kid, like reading this stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going like, this is too many letters for a name. What are you doing?
I'm
going
to make the first couple sounds and then just fake it.
Oh, man. Me and my friends trying to figure out how to pronounce Bill Sienkiewicz. How to pronounce his name.
Is that the right way? Because I definitely don't say it that way.
I think that's the right way. Because, he's got... Anyway, not important.
Yeah, not important.
But holy cow. So this is... Then we've got a story about... The car that Superman is smashing on the cover of Action Comics number one.
It's a really fun idea.
So cool. And it's like it's at the auto body shop back in the 30s. and the guys are like, what happened to this car? And he's like, it was a guy in red underwear I ran into. And they're like, yeah, you drunk. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But his art captures this so, like, puts this... This is easily a story you could have done with a different artist and it would have just been like, oh, that's cute. That's a fun thing.
His art elevates it a lot.
His art really elevates it. It gives it like a gravitas to like this 30s Superman that like you go, man, he really is amazing, like imposing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also this like the just that shot, the look on his face when the car is about to hit him and he knows what's going to happen. Yeah. He knows these guys have no idea. And then, like, there's, like, a sternness to him. But there's something about him where it's, like, if Coypel was drawing this, you could absolutely have Superman look like this 30s costume.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, it would feel, like, it's incredible. It's, like, if it's, and it's absolutely, this is the one that I most don't want to spoil. What the emotional, you know, like, what the real point of it is. I'll just say incredible.
Yeah. These guys, just fun little beat with the bird and
the plane. And then he's like, it's you. Like, you know, or whatever he says, is like, it's, you're him, right? It's you again, you know? And it makes you go like, yeah, this guy could probably, if it, there's a realness to it that is kind of like at the heart of why Christopher Reeve worked in that Donner movie so well, where it's like, you go, that costume was silly if you can't pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like an earnestness to it where you go, if I saw this guy in real life, I wouldn't be worried about what his, what he was dressed like. I would be like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And he give, it's like when he drops that guy off in Superman, the guy who he's gotten off the side of the building, mm-hmm. who's trying to like rob the place, and he drops him off with the police, and the guy's just dumbstruck, and he's, you know, and it makes you think like, yeah, this guy got a hold of me. It might make me turn my life
reevaluate my life. Yeah, and so we won't spoil it, but the conversation at the end is, yeah, one of those moments that's just like, man, that's Superman.
Yeah.
That's Superman.
Absolutely.
Then you got the Scott Snyder story.
Yeah, with Raphael Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
Albuquerque, however you pronounce it. Look, I'm so I'm trying my best.
Yeah.
We don't know how these people actually pronounce their names.
It does look like Albuquerque.
It's Albuquerque. Yeah. You know, I mean, but I've always kind of given it, whenever I've said it in my head, I always kind of give it that flourish.
Yeah.
Of like, to make it not a place. This is a name.
Right. This is Albuquerque the person.
Yeah. So this is a great story. It's like, is this the only place Lex shows up in this?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, it's not. There's, because there's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is Superman and Lex and the planetarium at Smallville. This is definitely going with the grew up in Smallville version of Lex. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Fun's not the right word. It's kind of like, it's an emotional little story. It also, though, does, there's maybe just something about it that's, there's some little bit that's lacking that, like, if they had another page,
put it over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's jumping through this stuff, like the part where that I'm the most interested in. And I think that it intentionally leaves some of this stuff open for interpretation or, about like, does Lex realize? Do they know?
Yeah, they're showing these flashbacks, and yeah, does Lex know that young Clark saved his life here? Or does he?
Yeah.
Does he know that
there's Superman? Like, there's a, because you can definitely feel it going. There's a strong argument to be made for it going either way, I think.
Yeah, this is one of the stories that it works well in an anniversary issue because you think, well, this is not necessarily. You don't have to worry about continuity and is this canon or anything. Because, Lex could very well know Superman's Clark here and or not. And the story still works either way.
Yeah. And it does feel a little bit like it leads straight into the Tom King one. But I don't know if that's like, if that's actually intentional.
Yeah, you need another pin up here to break it up.
The way that it drops off that, you know, straight into.
Well, yeah, the planetarium shows, you know, everything ending, the sun expanding. And then that's where the Tom King story picks up.
And boy. This Tom King one with Clay Mann is all. I want them to take over Superman, not Brian Michael Bendis.
Right.
Clay Mann is just incredible. And he is a dude who is like, where did he come from? You know what I mean? Like, it feels like I had not heard of him.
He came on the scene fully formed.
Yeah. Like, and I can't imagine that he just started as recently as he sort of like come to prominence.
Right. The story's only 5 pages long.
Holy cow.
And also, you know, why can't they be the ones doing Superman? There can be more than one Superman book. A tough thing about the Bendis transition is he's just going to be writing all the Superman books.
Yeah. It's like he has to take over everything.
You can just take over action or just do Superman and we could have another flavor. Superman.
It probably won't last long. I don't mean like, oh, it's going to be a bust. I mean, like, that's kind of the good thing about comics. And this is sort of like a testament to it, is the fact that it's like, just wait a little while. Yeah. If you don't like what's going on now,
it'll change.
Like the New 52, we had to deal with it for a couple of years, but eventually.
Yeah. So yeah, it's likely 5 years from now, Bendis won't still be doing Superman.
I would not give it that long, but sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, man, look. As negative as it feels like, look, this Joker did not, we were already very apprehensive. Mm-hmm. We said to begin with, mm-hmm. the one thing I don't want him to do is Superman. way back when they first announced it.
When we did our
Bendis episode, I was like, we tried to think of stuff that he would be a great fit for. And it was all basically not Superman. And
there's a lot of stuff he'd be a great fit for.
Superman does not seem to be, and it's like him plus Jim Lee is like a duet of horrors for me.
I think that's just this issue, though.
Yeah. But it's like, he's got a murderer's row of talent for that Man of Steel miniseries. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it. Please don't get me wrong. And I want to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
The thing is like with all of the stuff that came out when they were announcing some of this stuff and people were going like, people were apprehensive and people were going like, well, we haven't even seen it yet. Let's give it a chance. And I will, hey, I promise you, day one, I will be there buying these issues.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm ready to be pleasantly surprised. I want him, and some of this interview stuff I've heard him say really does make me feel like I'm like, you're saying the right stuff, but what I'm seeing in practice does not seem to go along with that.
And he's saying, like, so my biggest apprehension of it is not that I won't like his tone or the stories he comes up with. I'm worried he's going to scrap what came before, and what came before has been so good
and has resonated with people so much that it's like revitalized Superman so much. And it's like, why are you trying to let this guy come in and like do Ultimate Superman and throw all of this away?
I feel like if he keeps Lois and John, I can deal with some goofy villains and whatever.
Well, and it's like, you look in the solicits and it's like it keeps hinting at all this stuff. They don't want to give it away, but it keeps hinting at all this stuff. That's like, what's happened to where are Lois and John during all of this?
Is that? Oh, yeah.
The solicits for Man of Steel, like each issue, and it's like Superman has to deal with what's happened to Lois and John or something. And it's all this stuff where I'm like, and then people kept saying, though, but let's give it a chance. It's not even. And then you have this, which really does not. It enforces all of your sort of like.
When I sent you that art the other day, and it's just art. There's no dialogue. We don't even know what's happening. But just the way the characters are framed, I'm worried that it's got Lois and Clark and John, and then Jor-El is there, who came back.
How is that a thing? Like, where does all of this fit?
Yeah, and it looks like if I were gonna just jump in and put words on the page, it looks like they're kind of giving him away to Jor-El. I hope I'm wrong.
I sure do too.
And that they're not, that they're going to take John and Jor-El are going to go live in somewhere far removed from main continuity DC. Yeah. So they're still alive, but we're going to remove them.
Yeah.
So we can get back to basics or status quo Superman.
Anyway, Tom King knocks another one out of the park.
Yeah, like, you've got billions of years in the future.
I think he says it's 5 billion years.
5 billion years. Humans have not been on Earth for 4 billion years. The sun is, I guess, expanding, and
it's finally we're getting to the heat death of our universe.
The Earth is being destroyed, he's saying he comes and revisits Earth annually to kind of talk to the Kents, Jonathan and Martha Kent, his parents.
We shouldn't even say anything about this. This is so beautiful. Yeah. Plus, chances are you already read it on Twitter because for some reason DC let Tom King just put it all up on Twitter.
I don't know. Yeah, the whole story's on there. It's not even a couple pages of it.
But I mean, there's only 5 pages. But if you'd left any of it off, it'd be like, it would feel so incomplete. But it's beautiful,
right?
It's wonderful, and it does. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's great.
There's a thing he touches on at the end, growing up, not, I guess, understanding why his dad would want to go to church,
because his dad's. There's a lot of science involved in modern farming, and we're teaching that we're approaching Superman now as he's continues to be a modern character.
Right.
It's that sliding timeline of when he grew up to be the age he is in the modern times. But there's like a ton of science involved in farming, in the modern world. So he's like, his dad was basically like a farm scientist.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, him not being able to understand until he's an adult, he's an older man with his own kids, kind of trying to reason through that. But anyway, it's a good story. It's good stuff.
It's great.
Louise Simonson and Jerry Ordway.
Which, this is another great, like, sort of anniversary issue, like, from a classic Superman writer and artist from the 80s and 90s. It's just a great... It just is what it is. It's nothing... it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's like the kind of Superman thing you would expect to see from when they were doing Superman.
Right.
It's just a nice little like slice of Superman life. Like I'm happy to see it, but it's not on it. it doesn't
have the wow factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's good. It's good Superman comics. It packs a lot into a couple pages of fun.
And it's like, we haven't touched much on the Daily Planet aspect. Yeah,
that's
of Superman's
true. That's
life.
True. We see them here.
It's kind of giving you a little bit of thing and going like, hey, don't forget Superman's a reporter. He's not just a guy in outer space.
Right.
He's not just a guy that fights through coronal tachyons.
Right.
Whatever. Then we get, this was one I was not expecting and is like a real highlight for me.
The Paul Dini story.
Paul Dini, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, penciled and then Kevin Nolan inked, which is, again, this screams Garcia Lopez to me, but it also, there's just some of the, like, the small details have that Kevin Nolan-ness to them that makes it, that pops it, mm-hmm. you know? And the coloring is great. Who's the colorist on this?
Trish Mulvihill?
Sure. Never heard of her, but she did a great job on this.
Yeah,
it works perfectly for the story.
The colors pop really well.
It's just top to bottom. This is wonderful. Do you notice how many times Mr. Miracle shows up in this? And I did not feel like Mr. Miracle was like quite a, not just in this story, in the whole book.
Right. There's little nods.
There's like,
there.
He shows, he's on that Dan Jurgens page. He pops up in this. There's a Mr. Miracle something in the
Jim
Bendis
Lee.
Part. Yeah.
Like, and then it's the part of the plot.
Oh, he's got the mother bot. Yeah. And I was like, you guys did not care this much about Mr. Miracle.
They know what's up.
Yeah.
They know Mr. Miracle's
popping off.
Yeah. So the premise of this is they're in a theme park called Action Land, I guess, and it's a ride that takes you through the life of Superman. So it's a fun
It's clearly concept. It's set it seems like it's set way in the future in mm-hmm. a world where it's people know that Superman was Clark Kent and he's not having to worry about a secret identity anymore.
Right.
I'll tell you a weird thing about this to me though is like you've got these like classic, you know, versions of a lot of these characters, especially like the villains here.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got this new 52 version of Darkseid and then the rebirth version of Zod, which is just it's a weird hodgepodge
you think
in there.
As the panel goes left to right,
maybe
you get in that's a real classic Brainiac.
Yeah.
And then you know,
that's
kind of
I mean
middle
yeah,
of the road 90s
that makes
and,
that makes total sense.
Yeah, so maybe they're kind of going through it as you kind of read left to right. But not, I just love the those designs on the Flesher
so
robots.
And I mean this is just a treat. This is not a thing. This issue or this story does not it doesn't have that same wow factor of like really. It's just a fun treat, like mm-hmm. kind of ride through Superman's history. We shouldn't spoil the.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Okay, we're not gonna spoil it.
But it's a fun like it, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Then okay, the John Cassidy and
Brad
Meltzer story.
Now, when Matt first showed up and we were flipping through this, I told him this felt like Brad Meltzer had just learned a bunch of new words for like
shorter than a second.
Yeah, like a femtosecond, a picosecond, and like he had just learned those and was dying to find a way to work them into a story. But it does. It's a fun thing, and that plays off the faster than a speeding bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Superman it plays a little bit into that thing of like, you know, Superman can't be everywhere.
Right. I guess, yeah, the line there about, you know, I know my speed and I know my distance. It's just math. I mean, I don't feel like I can make it.
He's like, I know how far it is. I know how fast that bullet's going to go. I know how fast I can go. I'm trying, but I can't be everywhere. And that's the thing. It's like when you hear people talk about Superman where they're like, oh, he can do anything. So what's the point? And it's like, no, he can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Superman's greatest thing to me is always just, it's like, he's going to try his best no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do all he can, but he can't do everything. But that he's not going to give up, and he's always going to do what he can. He's going to try his best. He's
right.
going to try his hardest, and he's not going to stop when his best isn't enough. He's not going to give up.
Right.
He's like, he's going to get up and keep. Well, and they talk about that thing. There's that part in that Perry White is saying in that Dan Jurgens story. It's that Superman always, you know, it's like that saying with boxers that he answers the bell. It's like no matter how bad things are going, he's going to get up and try again. He's going to, and it's like, that's what this is about. And it works out because he didn't go, oh, I can't make it.
Right.
There's no point. He still tries. And so it's a nice little story. And it's nice to see John Cassady.
Hey.
Like you said.
John Cassady, especially busting through the wall there.
Wait a minute.
That game story is not in here. It's only in the digital version. What? So that's something else.
All right. There's another. That's weird, though. All right. So in the digital version, there's a story where Superman and Lex Luthor play chess. And it's...
I think it's called The Game.
Yeah. It's written by Paul Levitz and drawn by Neil Adams, who, of course, you know, Neil Adams is a legendary Superman artist, responsible for some of the most iconic Superman images of all time, including the Superman breaking the chains.
Right, which he gets a chance to do in this story.
Yeah. And it's not in the print edition.
Yeah, so this is...
What the... What?
So only in the digital copy do you get this Neil Adams, Paul Levitz story called The Game.
And it's neat. I mean, Neil Adams seems like he's a lunatic now, but his art is still great. It still totally looks like Neil Adams. I mean, have you read that Batman, The Odyssey that he did?
A little bit. And it's not just, for me.
It's bonkers. But I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, if you can appreciate it for being like a bonker. But he also did that Superman miniseries, Superman, The Coming of the Superman. That's also
I remember that.
Bananas.
Yeah.
And this is a fun little thing, but yeah, that's wild. Because it's, how many pages is this?
It's, let's see. Six, one, two, three, four, five, six. No, five. Five pages.
Like, that's a whole 5 pages out of it.
That's crazy.
Wild. And then the pinups are in here. Like, okay.
Someone decided to make it different, but I don't think they've advertised that a lot.
There's not
which
been
they probably any, could, because they could probably get...
Maybe they don't want people to know, so they don't want comic... They don't want comic stores
You know,
mad.
We could be the one to crack the story.
We've done it! All right, everyone, you heard it here first. I have not seen this anywhere else so far.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Then finally, the Bendis Jim Lee story.
Oh, boy.
Just a really great Jorge Jimenez pinup.
Yeah, which is like a take on the All-Star Superman... Number one cover with Superman just sitting on a cloud smiling, which I will never tire of. And then, holy cow. So I'll link to it in the show notes, but John Morris on Twitter went through, he had a extended, what's the word I'm looking for? He went on like a little bit of an extended explanation for why these Bendis pages, that they put the preview pages up.
Right, the first two or three pages were already
up. Put those up, and he was explaining like, well, and you had that great thing you said to me. I was like, you need to tweet this because it's great. It's like the dialogue in this seems like a parody of Bendis dialogue.
Especially these ladies in the diner.
Yeah, but and then John Morris got into it. A little more in depth about like exactly why, like how words and pictures work
right
in comics and why
yeah,
this is.
He said the words sit on the page like cold eggs, like they don't belong there.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's just the way that people talk. It feels so unnatural, even though it's trying to be like real dialogue. And I think Bendis is like, when Bendis is. Hits it.
When he's on, he's on. That's the thing about
Bendis.
Yeah, he's
like, dialogue is his strength. And it's like, when you've got people, some of these things, and dude, look, I said I didn't want to try to get into this, but Batman Creature of the Night, the dialogue in that is so good.
That's Kurt Busiek.
It's Kurt Busiek. And it's like, it's so good, and it feels so... Yeah, this is how people actually talk.
Right.
Without sounding like this, you know...
Yeah.
Or like, it all feels real, even though it's not how people really talk. It's like this, it's better than how people really talk.
Right, and that's what art gets to be better.
Yeah, you get to have this, like, but it's still got stuff like, there's stammers in there, and there's people being unsure, but it's just so wonderfully done. And I know we're supposed to be talking about this, and I said I'll save this for later, but it's like, reading that, and then reading this, so, like... just so powerfully encapsulates how bad this is.
Right.
for being like, this is just, because I think I said some of this to you where I was like, I've gotten to, with some, there's a lot of comics and I've started, that I read, and I've started going like, is this bad?
Yeah.
Or is it that my tastes have changed? Or have comics always been this bad and I just couldn't tell before because I didn't have the wherewithal? But then when you read something that's really good, you go, No, these other comics are crappy.
Right.
Like, there seems to be so much of the same style of writing in comics now, where you've got people who, maybe it's writers who have, like, grown up on Bendis. Maybe. Who are trying to do, like, that kind of style, but I'm just like, who okayed this? Who in editorial was like, yeah, this is fine?
Kara shows up. I like her in it. That was neat. I wasn't expecting to see Supergirl. So she's in there and it's good.
This bad guy is like the exact opposite of what I want from a Superman bad guy.
I'm not feeling this bad guy at all.
Maybe there's like, the design is just like, oh, the only thing we can come up with for a Superman bad guy is something that's bigger. And it's like a big monstery bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, this, and it's like Bendis is supposed to be coming in with, like, you've never gotten to do Superman. This is your introduction to DC, and you're doing a thing that is like,
it feels very generic-y.
Yeah, very generic-y, and it's like, it's just another, we've seen Doomsday, we've seen Mongol, we've seen these guys where it's like, Superman is more than punching.
There's a villain he reminded me a lot of, that I'm blanking on his name. He's from Green Lantern Corps. He's like a Guy Gardner villain, and but everything about him, like, made me think of this guy. Like, DC, you've already got a character like this.
There's like,
they've probably got dozens of characters. Are just like,
you've got Darkseid. You've got, yeah. This guy seems like they're, you know, they're trying to do a, oh, he's the big, it's Terax. It's, yeah. You know, it's like a million other characters.
And the hook is that somehow he's tied to Krypton's explodey origins.
Yeah, which, spoilers, but I don't even care because it's so stupid.
We said there'd be spoilers. But I'm not into that either.
I don't feel like it's like, yeah.
So one thing that I did like, because we can talk about positives too. Superman starts the first several pages unconscious, but when he comes to, I like what he has to say. You know, hey, I'm sorry about the mess. Thank you guys for protecting me. You guys get to safety. Like, that's succinct. That's very, very Superman. And I feel like if he can write Superman well, at least maybe there's hope.
And people, please, look, I understand. I always want the best for Superman. Mm-hmm. So I want this to surprise me. But that's the problem, is that it's like, everyone said, wait for it. Wait, you know, let's wait and see at least. And then this comes out and it's like, yeah, this is exactly the kind of, like, you know, just especially in this book.
Yeah.
Where there's all this other stuff where you're going, wow.
To be so inspirational and then to end on this note.
To end on this note of like, oh, and it's a guy stabbing him. Great.
Yeah. This is a neat action beat where he's flying towards this building and then stops short.
Without smashing it. But then the bad guy just smashes
it anyway.
Like,
but it's neat that Superman stopped it. I don't know. Yeah, it's not great. It's in the bottom two of the stories that appear in here.
I put it at the bottom one. Because it's wasted potential, man.
Yeah.
That speaks to me more than like something that's just like kind of... And also like, oh, okay, yeah, you just killed him. Yeah. That's how we're starting.
He dies at, spoilers, he dies at the end of this issue.
Yeah, so actually it's all been like a ruse.
Right in the chest, and then the villain says that he's the one that destroyed the planet Krypton. And then
great.
To be continued.
Well, and then also it bugs me a little bit that they did this thing where the last, this Bendis is coming stuff. I don't know if you know this, but this is all a play on the Kirby is coming they did in the 70s when Kirby finally came over to DC. And Brian Michael Bendis, I'm sorry, you are no Jack Kirby.
Yeah, there may have been a time that...
Look, you've done a ton of good stuff.
Yeah.
You've done a bunch of stuff that I do like.
Yeah, and he's a good writer when he's on.
Yeah.
But he's also...
But you've also got a ton... Like, you are no Jack Kirby, my man. And like, Kirby was coming... And doing 4 books a month. Right. And you're doing 2. Like, this is not like quite the game shifter. And it's like, and also Kirby was going like, I'm going all over the place with it. I'm introducing all these new characters. I'm like, I'm taking over this. I'm doing this. Like,
and I bet over the next several years, we'll see Bendis probably move around to different characters. And stuff.
Nothing, there's, okay, I won't say this because never say never. But like, I started to say there's... Nothing Bendis could do that is ever going to compete with Jack Kirby. I can't.
Yeah, but, those shoes are too big to fill.
Like,
yeah, that's like trying to be the next Stan Lee. You can't be the next Jack Kirby.
Yeah, like you're putting yourself in a bad place by making this comparison. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah.
Anyway, that's a bummer way to end on it. but hey, issue all in all, fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good issue.
It was a great love letter to Superman. If you just skip that last part, it really feels like just a great love letter to Superman.
And like we said, we're still going to buy Man of Steel. We're still going to see where it goes.
We're still going to be there. But it's like then this big anniversary love letter to Superman ends. Literally the last thing that happens is Superman getting stabbed in the chest.
Which is tonally different than the other nine stories.
Yeah, this feels like...
Eight in print.
Save this for that DC Nation Zero or something. Like, they should have had Bendis come on and do something that is like showing that he gets the character.
That would have been so much better.
Yeah.
And then, have this be the DC Nation Zero story because it's kicking off the new thing.
Yeah, and have that kicking off the new thing. Because everything else in here is like, I get why they did it because they want to have like, we completely understand. Yeah,
we know why, but it would have been better if they didn't.
Yeah. But we know why, but here's why they're wrong. so anyway, yeah, we've got to wrap things up here. We've talked about this much longer than the other stuff. We talked about other stuff longer than we thought. Anyway. But we got through the whole thing, and we've got all of your Superman questions, which some of those were absolutely wonderful. I cannot wait to answer those.
Oh, we'll definitely have to answer those.
We'll get those on the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Follow the show. Follow Matt on Twitter, at XAMattDrain. You can follow me at TheChrisHaley, at KICTM Podcast, patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. All of the usual stuff you know about. Look for the show notes. It's going to have like a bunch of these covers and some of this cool stuff. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Action Comics 1000 Day. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's a blast.
To share this with me. This was absolutely wonderful. And, got an announcement that we will instead do on the next episode. So I'll just cut that out. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll just leave you with this. Action Comics number 314, The Day Superman Became the Flash.
Sure enough.
That is a cover that has just stuck with me. All right, here we go. I like how you... let me make sure my shirt is straight in case anyone...
Well, it's going to be video.